We thank you for by the blood of your Son, you have purchased us. You have made us citizens of your kingdom. We who once hated you, who had nothing to do with you, Lord, as you showed even in the life of your servant Hosea, who went after his bride over and over again, purchasing her back from slavery. 15 talents of silver. Lord, the same way you have come after us over and over, you have not left us in our filth. You have not given us up. You have not given us over to the depravity of our minds. But you have kept us. Heavenly Father, may we always open our hearts to you in surrender, that you will reign in our lives, that you will reign supreme. As we open the scriptures today, please open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, for we know that the enemy comes to steal that which has been planted. But we pray that you will guard your words within our hearts, that it will bear forth fruits abundantly in our lives, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, make us not only hearers, but doers of what we hear, that these things that you have been teaching, may we put them to practice in our lives, O Lord. So that on that day when we stand before you, we'll stand unashamed. Because on this side of eternity, we have been changed. Thank you, Father. I pray as your servant this morning, as your Son, use my tongue like the pen of a ready writer to inscribe these words of life, these glorious words upon the hearts of men. That which is impossible with man will be made possible because you have done it. So let me decrease that you might increase, Lord Jesus. Let me decrease that men might see you and you alone. Grant me your unction, your anointing this morning to speak as your oracle. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, do it, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Over the last couple of weeks, maybe in the last month or two now, we have been looking at some of the mysteries that the Lord has cloaked in parables, mysteries of his of his kingdom, which are for those who truly desire. The Lord has always called aside to cause them to see, to cause them to know. But these mysteries, though they were spoken in parables, not all had the deeper meaning or the deeper understanding of the truth that the parables were supposed to portray. And we thank God that even in our time, that it has pleased the Lord to reveal to us the mysteries of his kingdom. Over the last few weeks, we also saw how the kingdom was heralded by the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, being John the Baptist, where he talked about men preparing the way, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The king of that kingdom, when he came to this physical realm, he also went about preaching the good news of his own kingdom. In teaching his disciples to pray, he taught them to pray, "Thy kingdom come." And in many facets, in many areas of the New Testament, we see the explanation of the kingdom and what it is, what we have been brought into. We have been made children of the kingdom through salvation, through regeneration. People who are once dead to the things of the Spirit, people who are once aliens of the kingdom of God, because we were citizens of the kingdoms of this world, and by grace have we been extracted. The Bible says that our feet has been taken out of the mired clay and set upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been taken out of the kingdom of this world and we have been planted into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, into the kingdom of God, as citizens of that kingdom. Many of the apostles will call themselves ambassadors because indeed they represented a kingdom that was not a kingdom of this world. And we also, we are ambassadors of that kingdom. And we preach these words that we might remember of whose we are. You will never see an ambassador of a nation going about in another nation misrepresenting his nation. And therefore, we as Christians, we have to rightly represent the kingdom to which we belong. We have to rightly represent the king whose we are. And today, I'm going to try to wrap up what we have been going through in the last couple of weeks, months, and just say something, look at an overarching view of how that kingdom came about, what that kingdom is today, and what that kingdom is to be in the future. And we say this, it's for us to know what we have been called to. You know, some time ago, you know, I used an analogy that if you buy furniture from IKEA and maybe you buy a chair and you don't read the instructions very well, you might end up using a chair as a table, or you might end up sitting on the table you bought at IKEA. So sometimes it's very important that you understand who you are. A king that doesn't understand that he's a king would live as a commoner. And we have to know who we are so that what we have been brought into and what we have will not be stolen from us. Amen. All right, let us start off by going into the Gospel of Matthew, the book of Matthew. And we start off with a few things about the kingdom there. And we will go to the beginning. Matthew chapter 4. Let me see. Who will be my reader today? All right. Jemima, are you there? Can you read for me Matthew 4:17, please? If Jemima can read. Okay, if Jemima is not there, Titi Dari. Okay, you're there. All right. Matthew 4:17.
From then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near.
What did Jesus preach?
Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near.
Very good. Jesus went about preaching, repent of your sins, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Titi Dari, will you read Matthew 4:23? Matthew Matthew 4:23.
And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people.
Thank you. What was Jesus Christ proclaiming? Titi?
The gospel.
The gospel. Not just the gospel.
Good news.
The good news of what?
Of the kingdom of God.
Of the kingdom. Exactly. Jesus went about preaching the good news of the kingdom. Sister Greta, will you please read Luke 17, 20 to 21? Sister Greta Kirby, Luke 17, 20 to 21.
Yes, just a second. I have, let me get it.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
While Sister Greta is looking for it, Sister Elizabeth, will you open to Romans 14, 17? Because you'll read after Sister Greta.
Okay, you say Luke 17?
20 to 21.
Okay. Luke 17, 20. I'm in the King James Version. Yes. Now when he asked the Pharisees when the kingdom of God will come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here' or 'See there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you."
Amen. The kingdom of God is within us. Sister Elizabeth, Romans 14, 17.
Okay. Do you hear me, Brother Boomer?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Romans 14, verse 17.
Yes.
For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. The kingdom of God is not about eating or drinking. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, let us go to the beginning, which is the book of Genesis. And we want to see a few things about God's intention in the creation of man. Like I said, if we know who we are, we would not lose what God is doing. And, you know, many of the scriptures will begin to make sense why some people will live so much for what we call so little. Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 1, in the very beginning. Genesis 1, and I will read from verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth." I'll read that again. "Over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." God said, "Let us make man in our image and let man have dominion." Let them have dominion over everything that God has created. When God created man, this was the initial purpose of man. This was why God created man. That man will have dominion over every creature, over everything that God had made. Over everything that covered the earth, that man will have dominion upon the earth. So when God created man, man was to submit his own will to God, God being the king above all kings. Because when we talk about dominion, dominion means kingship. Dominion means authority over some things. So the purpose of God in creating man was that man will have dominion over the works of the hands of God under God. God will be the king of all kings. Man will be king over the creation of God. This was the purpose of God. Now, let us also go a few verses further to verse 28. He said, and God blessed them. That is Adam and Eve. You know, in another part, you will hear that God called all his created beings or created humans Adam. God blessed them, male and female. This was God's purpose. Male and female, they will have dominion. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So God's purpose was that man, you and I, brothers and sisters, we would have dominion over all that God had made. Remember what we read in Peter. The purpose of God was to have a kingdom of kings and priests. This was the purpose of God right from the beginning of creation. That man submitting his will unto his king will have dominion over the works of the hands of God. And we still see this, even in a fallen world. Anytime you accost an animal, the first thing is that the animal will flee away from you, even if the animal is stronger than you. We'll still see the dominion that God has given man in man subduing the earth. We've seen man go to moon. They want to plan to go to Mars. We see man go to the depths of the seas. You don't see any monkey scuba diving, do you? It's because monkeys don't have that kind of dominion. You don't see monkeys building skyscrapers. It's because monkeys don't have that kind of dominion. But God has given man dominion to subdue the earth, to have authority over everything that he has created. But man lost that authority. Because there was a being of God who desired authority in an illegal way, who wanted the throne of God himself. And God kicked him out of heaven. That being is called Lucifer. And that being has never stopped operating even till this day. And that being came clothed in the flesh of an animal called a serpent and beguiled man, beguiled Eve. And by Eve and Adam committing treason, by sin, the sin of rebellion, the sin of disobedience, man lost his dominion that God had given to him. And Satan, what is Satan called? He's called the king of this world today because he stole something. He stole a kingship, a dominion that God meant for somebody else. So, the kingdom of God was revealed in creation. God's intentions were revealed in the creation of man. Satan stole the dominion that God intended for man. The fall of man in the Garden of Eden led to the forfeiture of the kingdom that God designed for man. Then Israel became a prototype of what God intended in reclaiming man, reclaiming the kingdom back for man. Then the King of Kings, our Lord Jesus Christ, he came, died on the cross, and the kingdom was reclaimed. Though everything has not come under his feet yet, under the feet of man. At the end, when Christ will come again, the reign, what God intended, of a kingdom of kings and priests unto himself will be actualized once again. And we're going to see a few of these things that we're talking about. So that's why I said that when you know who you are in Christ, you will do everything within your power not to lose what God has purchased for you. Now, Jesus Christ went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It said to the Pharisees that the kingdom is within you. You will not be told to look there, look here, look for the kingdom. Because, like we said when we started, the kingdom of God is the realm of the reign of Christ. It is not a physical place, but everywhere where Christ reigns is the kingdom of God. Within the kingdom, within here on earth, the kingdom of Christ is, the kingdom of God is here on earth, because the church is made up of people who are within that kingdom. But there is a dual kingdom here on earth. There is also the kingdom of this world, in which those who have rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have rejected God, who, knowing God, that seeing everything around them, this is not active rejection. This is not a passive rejection. It's as if something tells you that, oh, this was created by somebody. But you decide that, I don't want to accept that this was created by somebody. I would reject it. Or you have a witness within your heart that, wow, this is the truth. And you determine within your heart that, no, I will reject that truth. And that is what we have called the kingdom of this world. And there is a king within the kingdom of this world. His name is Satan. When Jesus Christ came to earth, he said that Satan is the father of those who are within the kingdom of this world. And everybody purchased by the blood of Jesus has another father now. God Almighty becomes our father. That is why we've been given the authority to call him Abba. Darling, dear father. Because we are no longer of the kingdom of this world, we are of the kingdom of heaven. We have changed parentage. Everybody born of man, rejecting the offer of salvation, is of the kingdom of this world and has a father. And everyone that has accepted Jesus, come and wash me, be my God, has God as his father. Now, where do we see that rejection? It's also at the beginning. Let's go back again to Genesis. This time, Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, let me read from verse 1. Because here, after sin had been introduced into the world, a world that knew no sin, a world that was created perfect, a world that God said it was good. It was good. Brothers and sisters, if you can still be in awe of the beauty of a sunrise, or you look at the lilies of the field and you are in awe, can you imagine what it was when the world was without sin? When sin hadn't marred creation? Now, in Genesis 6, mankind had begun to spread over all the earth. I read from verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all whom they chose. That verse 2 is a verse that I do not understand very well. You know, there are many, many controversies about it, about maybe demons taking, but that is not the thought for today. Verse 3 says, and the Lord said, because here, because of the proliferation of men and women and things being done that were not, that were after the what Cain did, man choosing to be the god of his own domain, the god of his own world, not in subjection to the king of all kings. God said, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, in the Garden of Eden, there was a tree that was planted in that garden called the Tree of Life, which God asked the people within that garden, they must not eat of it, and also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they must not eat of it. They broke God's law by eating of the tree of the knowledge of evil, good and evil. And God said that before they eat of the tree of life and ever be perpetually undead in their sin, I will prevent them from eating of the tree of life. I will expel them from the Garden of Eden. And God expelled them. And from then, man, first of all, man was created to live eternally. There's something we call the antediluvians. Antediluvian people are people who lived before the flood of Noah. The antediluvians, they lived hundreds of years. So if you had lived maybe 200-300 years, you are still youth. Many of them you will see written in Genesis, after so-and-so lived 300 years, he begat so-and-so. After so-and-so lived 500 years, he begat so-and-so. So for you to live hundreds of years wasn't anything big before the flood of Noah. So the antediluvians, they lived many, many years. Methuselah lived 969 years. And here, God said that this was the first time that God reduced the life of man. From the many, many years that men were living, he said that their life shall be 120 years. And from this, after the flood, you will see that men no longer lived the many, many years they lived. Because God said he will no longer strive with man. He will no longer strive with man in his sin, man in his rebellion, man in his disobedience. In the book of Romans chapter 1, we see the same thing again. In the modern world, the sin of man, God will no longer strive with man. You know, and I see that over and over. When Israel, when they went into sin, God delivered them. But many of them, they took on idols to worship. God did not strive with them. God would warn them over and over. And after that, God will deliver them over to their enemies. In Romans, Sister Biola, please, can you read Romans 1, 24, 26, and 28, please?
Romans 1, 24, 26, and
28? Yes. Therefore, or maybe you can read it from 24 to 28.
Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness.
Okay, can you read a few verses before so we'll just get the context? Why did God give them to uncleanliness? If you can find the portion where it began to say that they knew God, but they rejected him.
Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, mm-hmm. and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creator, the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting.
Sorry, I was frozen for a second there. So in verse 24, it says, God gave them up to what? Sister Biola? To uncleanness.
Yeah.
Okay. In verse 26, God gave them up to what?
Vile passions.
Vile passions. In verse 28, God gave them up to what?
A debased mind.
A debased mind. Okay.
Because now, disobedience.
Let me. Part of the grace of God, part of the grace of God in the life of a Christian is that God will hinder us from doing what our hearts desire to do. Part of the grace of God is that God will hinder us from sinning against Him. When we read in the book of Romans that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh, I believe it's more of God allowing Pharaoh to do the desire of his heart rather than God doing something within his heart to close the door of his heart with a key. No, I believe it's more of a, look, you can do as it pleases you. And it's within this world. So when you see a nation giving over to depravity, especially when it comes to sexual depravity, you know that that is the judgment of God. I have said it before, brothers and sisters. When, if you are a good student of history, you would see the capitulation of superpowers. It happened in Rome. It happened in Rome. Before the, was it the barbarians who sacked Rome? Or who are, was it the barbarians? Okay, I've forgotten the, but there was a people that sacked Rome after they had spread their soldiers. But it was sexual debauchery. That was one of the hallmarks that began to bring Rome down, where their emperors and their senators began to consort with pages, where people like, was it Caligula, one of those emperors would consult with pages and throw them off a cliff. Where homosexuality became the order of the day, debauchery, orgies became the order of the day in Rome. The capitulation of the Roman Empire started. I will not say that I am afraid for America, but I will say let us be careful and let us pray. Because America is patterned in power after the Roman Empire. If you see the architecture in DC, it is patterned after many of the Romans in architecture. It's supposed to show grandeur and power and glory. And today, we are seeing the same thing in this country, where God is beginning to give people over to a debased mind, to do what is unsightly, what is unnatural with their bodies. That is what happens in the kingdom of this world. And we are not supposed to be a part of that kingdom. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus went about preaching the good news of the kingdom, of his own kingdom. And what was the good news of that kingdom? The good news of that kingdom was one, number one, repent. Repent of your evil ways. Repent of your sins. John the Baptist started the same thing. Now there were many who are caught to the heart and came. Jesus Christ preached repentance, preached redemption, preached restoration. And then we saw Paul, the apostle, taking it further in the book of Romans, freedom from slavery to sin. In the kingdom of this world, this kingdom of this world is the only kingdom in which the subjects are made slaves. Satan makes slaves of his subjects. In his kingdom, he comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. Jesus Christ makes kings of his own subjects. He gives them life more abundantly. Now, let me tell you something. In the book of Hebrews, we read of those people who, by faith, they subdued kingdoms. By faith, they endured tribulations. They endured so many things. They endured persecution. They endured the mouth of lions. They endured being sawed asunder. Why would people endure that? Abraham, God had promised him a land in Canaan. He came into Canaan and was still living in tents. He did not build permanent fixtures. Paul, he will say that all he has gained, he counts it but dung for a future glory. All these people, they saw something by faith. They saw something by faith. And remember when we said that kingdom of heaven is a kingdom that is within this world, but it is also a kingdom that is with outside of time. Because heaven itself is part of the kingdom of heaven. So these people, they saw something that had a future, they had a future longing for. They were not bound by time. These people, they were promised everything. They had everything. But they forsook everything for what was before them. Let me break it down even further. Right from the Garden of Eden, Satan has always had one master plan. Come, tempt them with shiny, shiny things. They fall. He will take what is theirs. He tried it with our Lord Jesus Christ. Took him to the top of the mountain. All these kingdoms. What did he say? They have been given to me. That was a lie. That was a lie. All these kingdoms you see, they have been given to me. And I give to whoever as I please. It was a lie. Because the Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. If he's telling a lie, he's telling his own truth. If Satan tells the truth, it is a lie that he's telling. Because he stole the kingdom that he said. All these kingdoms, they were not given to him. He stole them from the rightful owner by deception. And it is the same ploy Satan is still using for us. And that is why I started with, when you know what you have, you will do everything to hold on to it. Satan stole. And Satan is still coming to those who have now been transplanted back into their own kingdom, though they have not yet realized it. We are now in the kingdom of heaven again. Yet, the kingdom is not yet fully ours. And I will show you, brothers and sisters, Satan will tempt with things that are shiny, shiny, shiny. He will tempt with gold. In the kingdom of this world, you know, they have shiny things like the Louis Vuittons of the world, the Calvin Kleins of the world, the Maybachs, the Benzes, the... we don't use all those, you know. But you know what I'm talking about? The shiny, shiny things. Satan will say, look, have it. Some people I had in the music industry, they said that they will sell their soul to the devil. They will sign that Christians are now beginning to be forced into the same thing. They will tell Christian athletes, we will give you so many millions of dollars, but don't speak about the name of Jesus on the field. Don't make any, you want to kneel down to thank God on the field. Christian artists, don't mention, just talk about a God that, yeah, or talk about love, but in no particular terms. You know, talk about, what was Sister Wura's song today? He paints a rosy picture, but he has no biblical basis. Just talk about a generic love. You know, you don't know whether it's the love of a woman you're talking about or the love of God you're talking about. We will give you money. Just do it. Satan is tempting People still with the same trick right from the beginning. Trinkets, money, gold, houses, cars. The same things that our brethren rejected is still tempting. And when your eyes are not filled with the eyes of faith, when your heart is being ruled by the fleshly desires, what in Romans we read called lusts, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, if your heart is still being ruled by this, that temptation will be an easy one for you to just give in to. But brothers and sisters, what do you lose by giving in to temptation? What do you lose? What you lose is way more than what you can gain. Number one, in time, you cannot compare eternity to 1,000 years. You can't do it. It's like comparing one grain of sand to all the beaches of the world. God is giving you all the beaches of the world. Satan is tempting you with one grain of sand. And you look at that grain of sand and you say that, yes, I will take this grain of sand and give up all the beaches of the world. In wealth, God says that everything, he owns it. Satan is tempting you with what we call the dust of heaven. You know, the soil. People said a place where the streets are paved with gold. And Satan is taking the dust of the kingdom and say, just take this dust, bow to me. And men are taking that dust when the streets of where they are going is paved with that dust. Can you imagine what we give up? Let's open to the book of Revelation. I think it was in look for it real quick. Sorry, I lost my bearing. Where it said that's does anyone know where it says that the kingdom of this world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and King? Oh, sorry, I lost.
The Revelation 11.
Is Revelation 11? 15. Thank you. Yes, Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world, this kingdom of this world that we have been talking about, one day, that kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. In the book of Hebrews and in the book of Psalms, we read that the kingdom of this world is not under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ yet. But one day, all those who rebel against him, who have rejected him, who are in the kingdom of this world, one day he's going to rule over them. And that day, like we said last week, you know, we've always looked at Jesus as the lamb that was slain. The Jesus that John saw in the book of Revelation was not a lamb that was slain. If you go to Revelations 1:2 and see the revelation of Jesus Christ, he said that his hair was white like wool. His eyes were like fire. Out of his tongue was a double-edged sword that came. His feet were like burnished bronze. A sash was around his waist. This Jesus is the king, the picture of the King of Kings who is going to come in judgment. No longer will Jesus Christ come back to the earth like a lamb. The second coming of Jesus, in which the kingdom of this world will be put under his feet forever, will be a Jesus that comes like a lion. A Jesus that comes like a lion. Lastly, let's open to Psalm 81. Psalm 81. And I'll read from verse 11 and 12. But my people will not hearken to my voice, and Israel will have none of me. So I gave them up unto their own desires, and they walked in their own counsels. There's something that the Lord has purchased for us, brothers and sisters. But the Lord will not always strive with those who disobey him. There's a place where God works within us to will, to be willing to do the good pleasure of God. There's a place where we do the outworking. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling. There's a place where God prods, God woos, God draws us unto himself. But if we keep on resisting him, if we keep on disobeying, there's a place where you will be invited. Come, let us learn of the word of God together. Come, let us open the scriptures. We've made avenues in the house group meetings. There's a place where we say, come, let us pray together. There are avenues in prayer meetings. But if you continually resist, not with your action, well, not with your words, but with your act. You never say, I don't want to pray. You never say, I don't want to read the Bible. But at home, you never read the Bible. At home, you don't take up time to pray. The facilities that have been made, come, let us study together. You don't take advantage of it. The facilities that have been made, come, let us pray together. You don't take advantage of it. But you are apt to attend the eating and the drinking of this world. You are apt to going to the parties of friends. Yet the righteousness of the kingdom, you do not come to learn, you do not rejoice in it. You don't reject that kingdom with your voice, with your words. You reject that kingdom with your actions. And God's people, if we continually reject him with our actions, one day he will strive with us no longer. Because God is able to give people over. Do what you now want to do with your own life. Because he said, I will not continually strive with men because they are flesh. Ah, brothers and sisters, it is a sad thing when God gives a man or a woman up to the desires of their own heart. So what God has for us, let us claim it. Let us, the kingdom of God suffering violence, the violent take it by force. Let us take what is ours. Let us reject in our hearts these lustful desires for the things of this world. Because what has been kept for us is way, way, way greater than what the enemy tempts us with. You know, we've learned, oh, be born again, you'll go to heaven. Is heaven the only thing? If you read the Bible, the book of Revelations, it talks about a new Jerusalem coming out of heaven. It talks about a new heaven being made and a new earth. If we are all in heaven, who is going to be on the new earth? Who is going to walk in the streets of that new Jerusalem? Who is going to be a king in the kingdoms that God is preparing? Who is going to reign? Who are we going to reign over? Ah, may God reveal to us what he has prepared for those who love him. Nothing in this world is worth it. Nothing. Paul said, I count it all dung. Everything, one day, metal will corrode. Clothes, they will grow moth. Money will fade. Even if you have it, you might not have the desire for it. But there is a kingdom that has been prepared for those who love him. Those who are the called according to his purpose. Those who will do anything within their power to hold on to it and not lose it. It has been given to us, brothers and sisters. And like I always say, it is free, but it's not cheap, because there's somebody who paid for it. Now, it is our turn to strive to hold on to it, what has been purchased for us. There are many mysteries that God is showing us, but, you know, we'll leave that for another day when we'll have time to talk about heaven, the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth, what God has prepared, in what realm will reign. There's so much. No wonder Paul could not say what he saw. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, eyes have not seen, you said, ears have not heard what you have prepared for those who love you. But unto us in this time it has been revealed. Though revealed, yet it takes the eyes of faith to still appropriate the mysteries of your kingdom. That which angels desired to see, that which prophets of old, they desired to know the time of which they were prophesied. That, Lord, you have revealed to us in these times. Those who have gone before us, who have kept the faith, you said without them, those who have been killed for the faith, without them we cannot be made complete. You are completing for yourself a people after your own heart. A people who have strove to rejecting to many with their own lives to inherit that kingdom. Said it's a small gate, it's a narrow road. And there are few that are found on that road, because the broad way of temptation is—it's easy, it's wide, it's alluring. But we pray, Lord, for ourselves that we will not give in to the lusts of the kingdoms of this world. We will not give in to the slavery again of sin. But that for which we have been apprehended, that which Paul said for which he had been apprehended, that for which you, our Lord, gave your own life, that pearl of great price, that we will see you as our pearl of great price. and will do everything within us, Lord, to hold on to you, to walk, to live as citizens of your kingdom, as ambassadors within this earth, representing your kingdom and living as strangers within this world. Only you can help us to live that way, can show us what it means to live as strangers within this world. Continually open our eyes to seeing the truths that you lay before us, that heaven will be a reality, your kingdom will be a reality. The things that are not, that we do not see, which are the real things that are, make them a reality in our lives, Lord. That these things that we see with our eyes, which are apprehended by flesh alone, Lord, will fade before our very eyes. Give us the eyes of faith. Let not the doctrine of men to lust after the things of the earth become gospel to us. You've already, Lord, saved us from the slavery to sin. You have redeemed us unto yourself. Now, Father, I pray, please open our eyes to behold who we are in you, what we have in you, what awaits us. It takes the eyes of faith to apprehend these things. So we pray, give us more than physical eyes to see. Give us more than physical ears to hear. Give us a heart that rejoices as citizens of your kingdom, we pray. That righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit will be ours, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.